grace, his mercy, his peace be with you today through Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about joy. Does God actually want us to have joy in this life? You know, last week we talked about seeking the joys of the things that are permanent in heaven, in the worlds to come. But I thought this week we could take a look at this life and whether God actually also wants us to have joy here as we go through this world to that kingdom to come. Why do I say this? Because, well, a lot of times we have hardships. We've got a lot of things that are set against us, many enemies, sin, the world, the devil are all against us. We face calamities, hardships, trials, tribulations, very difficult times. And sometimes the picture of the Christian life is just that we are soldiering on with a grim face, bearing up under it, and just trying to get to the eternal joys of the world to come. And the question is, does God only have for us joy in the world to come, or does he also, our God in heaven, want you to have joy today in this life as you go through this life with all of its trials and troubles, as you journey with him? Today, let's talk about the joy of the Lord. Is that your strength? And what God, our God in heaven, wants to teach us today about joy for your refreshment in Jesus. So as we think about that, having joy in this life, whether God wants us to have joy even in this world, and this life and experience, as well as in the one to come, let's take a look, first of all, at this question. Is God, our God in heaven, a God of joy, or is he a God of joylessness? You know, much depends upon the way we view God and our relationship with him as to whether we're going to have joy or not in this life. We've got to know if he's a God of joy or whether he really isn't. If you think that God is a God of joy, well then, and he's with you and he's for you in Christ, then you're going to have joy no matter what happens. But if you think he's a killjoy, and he's just a judge and a stern guy, and he's looking to barely save you and just barely get you through, then maybe you won't have joy in this life. So a lot depends on our view of God and the view of our relationship that we have with him through Christ as to whether we're going to have joy or not in the good times and the bad times of this life. So let's take a look then and see what God teaches us in his word, because we can imagine what we want. We can say, this is what would be lovely, but what we want is the rock of the truth, right? We want what God says about himself to be our foundation. So let's consider whether God is a God of joy or joylessness. Well, to figure that out, we gotta just easily take a look at Jesus, right? He is God himself in the flesh. He who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus says. Did Jesus have joy? Is he a God of joy? That'll tell us about the Father. Well, we read at least this in Luke 10, in that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. You know, Jesus, when you're traveling with him as a disciple, they saw that he had great joy expressed in God. He was a person of joy. You know, he was also there to confront the enemy, but the joy is evident that he is a God of joy. Listen to what he says in John 15. He says to his disciples, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Then he also says, it says in Hebrews 12, that when Jesus went to the cross to endure all that trouble for us and pain, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So joy is what drove him through the cross for your salvation. Joy, joy, joy was in Jesus, and he wants us to have that joy. How about heaven? Is that a place of joy? When you die and you get to go up there, is it a sad town? What does it say? It says in 1 Chronicles 16, all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. When you die and go up there, you're going to a place of forever joy, where it's only joy. It's where he lives. He's a God of joy. Remember, Jesus says the angels have joy, don't they? When one sinner repents, he says, then there is more joy before the angels than over 99 righteous who don't need repentance. So the angels have joy. His creatures have joy because John says, I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and all in the sea, all therein, saying, to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, and might forever and ever. Do you think the creatures are saying that droll, drudgery, sound like a funeral dirge? These guys, the creatures themselves are rejoicing. God gives them joy. And strangely, even the inanimate objects we would consider of nature, according to the Bible, somehow, miraculously, have joy. 1 Chronicles 16 says, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice, and say, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the field exult, everything in it. Then the trees of the woods shall sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Even the trees are singing, and the rocks. Wow. Well, I don't know how that works, but everything God does about his kingdom and who he is infused with joy. He's a God of joy, we need to know. First off, if we're going to consider this today, he's not a killjoy, he's a God of joy. But then the next question we need to ask is, does God in heaven actually want us to have joy here also in this life? And we ask that because, you know, a lot of times life is not so happy, right? Face hardships and calamities and diseases and difficulties and troubles and calamities and the enemy, and we face the sin in the world or in ourselves. We face the devil, all these coming against us to try to destroy our joy. And sometimes we don't have a lot of joy in this life because of the things we face, right? Consider Job. Job 7. Job suffered so much in his life. He said, my eye will never again see good. You ever felt like that? Jeremiah in Lamentations says something similar. He says, he's made my teeth grind on gravel and cower in ashes. I'm bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. Says Jeremiah, he basically is like, I don't even remember what it is to be joyful. I haven't seen it for so long. Moses said, I'm not able to bear this people and this burden alone. It's too heavy for me. God, if you're going to deal this way with me, kill me at once that I might not see my wretchedness. Moses was at wit's end, at the end of his rope. He had no joy. And Paul, even at certain points in his life, said, we felt so utterly, unbearably crushed in Asia that we despaired of life itself. So when I'm preaching today with you a message on joy, I'm not saying that we don't always, you know, it's not like that song, I'm in right, upright, upright, downright, happy all the time, you know. That's not the goal, that we're always just happy and cheerful as Christians. But what I'm talking about today is a deep joy, like an ocean current that runs underneath all the daily ups and downs of the waves of our emotions, that there is a deep undercurrent through everything coursing through your life of joy, a joy in the Lord, the joy of the Lord being your strength, a joy that's triumphant in the good times as well as the bad times. Is that God's will for you? What do you say? Amen? Amen. Does God actually want you joyful today?
Yes.
If you have joy, great. Can you increase it? If you don't have any, can God give it to you?
Yeah.
He tells us in the Bible this, and this is God's word, okay? So lay it to heart. God says through Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. How often? Joy, how often? I'm calling joy since joy is joy today. How often does God want us to have joy? Rejoice in the Lord?
Always.
Always, says Paul. I want you joyful forever. In the early Sunday morning Bible class, we saw Paul was beaten. He went on shipwrecks. Was shipwrecked. He went into prison. He felt danger at every turn, and yet he says, always rejoice. He sang in prison with Paul and Silas. Praises to the Lord in that dark place. Remember, Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, that in you have my joy may be in you, and I want your joy to be full, says the Lord Jesus to you. The fruit of the Spirit, right there, what is it? Love, joy, peace, etc. Number two on the list, that the Holy Spirit works in you right after love is joy. Do you have joy today? It's God's will. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And one more, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God in heaven, no matter what you're going through today, I want you, God says, to have joy, and the joy of the Lord shall be your strength, says the Lord. So it's his will. If God wants us joyful, then why do we not experience it? Where is your joy today? On a scale of 1 to 10. Whoa. Is it a 10?
Whoa.
Is it a 5? 12?
Good.
A 12.
Whoa.
High five to Kevin. I want some of your joy. Come on, you preach the rest of us. Some of us might be a 5. Some might be a 2 or a 1. Maybe someone says, I'm a 0. I don't know. But why is it that we don't always experience what God says he clearly wants us to have, the joy of the Lord being our strength? The answer is very simple, that we have an enemy, the devil, who hates joy, especially the joy of the Lord, because he knows it's your strength, and he wants to destroy you and bring you down to nothing and kill your joy if he can, to steal it, to rob it from our hearts. And he has a number of ways to do it. Can I share a few strategies he has? The first strategy he has to kill our joy as Christians is to entice us to sin. Because if he can get you to sin and go against God's word and truth, that's a slam dunk for him. Your joy will be gone, right? You know, he always promises, oh, Adam and Eve, you know, you're living in, you think it's pleasure and joy, but I got a better thing for you. This tree over here, that'll give you real joy. As soon as they ate of that tree, what happened? All their joy was gone. Their strength was gone. It was an illusion. It was a lie. That's his first number one strategy. It's a slam dunk. If he can get us to sin, then he's going to destroy your joy. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, said, you know, when I declared not my sin, my body just plain wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, God's hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. If the devil can get us to sin, go against God and break his law in some way, then he has stolen our joy and killed it. And that's what he's after. Jeremiah says in Lamentations, the joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us because we have sinned. So we'll talk more about how to remedy that in a moment, but beware of that. That's a trick. There is no joy in sin. It promises you pleasures, but it's just an illusion. It is a worm on a fish hook. Yeah, the worm looks tasty, but the hook is going to kill you. So beware of the slam dunk strategy of the devil to steal your joy through sin. Secondly, if he doesn't get us to sin, you know, a lot of times we face temptations in this life and we don't sin. We conquer the temptation, we triumph over it, but he still makes us to feel guilty about that. Do you ever feel guilty just by being tempted? Christ was tempted, he didn't sin. We get tempted, we think just being tempted was sinful. That's the devil's trick. He tempts us with an arrow. We avoid that temptation. Then he quickly shoots another arrow at you and says, see, you were enticed though. You might not have sinned, but you were enticed to sin. That means you're a terrible person. You're evil. God must be against you. He can't like you. Look, you are enticed to that sin. And if he gets you to think of your relationship with God, that God is against you because even you felt the temptation of sin, then he's killed and stolen your joy again. That happens a lot, doesn't it? You just feel guilty because you were tempted even if you didn't sin. Well, don't feel guilty, but we'll get to that. Thirdly, the devil, let's say you were a sinner, as we all were. We came to Christ, we got saved, we're going along in our way merrily with the Lord. And what's the devil do? He reminds us of our former sins, right? The sins of our youth, as we all have them. David says, remember not the sins of my youth or my many transgressions, O God, according to thy steadfast love, remember me, Psalm 25. What's the devil say? No, I want you to remember the sins of your youth. Remember what you did. Remember those young days that you had and what you got into. You're a terrible person. God must therefore be against you. I don't even know if you're really saved. So he reminds us all the time of sins we had committed, which God has forgiven, but he reminds you of them again and again to make you feel guilty. And if he makes you feel guilty, you feel now God is angry at you again for sins he's already forgiven. And if you feel that God is angry with you, what happens to the joy of your relationship? Oh no, the joy of my joy in God is gone again because God is now angry with me, even if he's not. But that's the devil's trick, so beware of that one. Then, if he can't get you on any of these so far, he'll also try to get you to lose your joy by just attacking you by the sins of others around you. You ever have that where you wake up in the morning, oh, beautiful, chipper day. The birds are singing, the dew is on the grass, all things are going well. And then he sends somebody into your life who snaps at you and gives you a harsh word, and he steals your joy through somebody else attacking you, or cutting you off on the street and flipping you the bird, or maybe you turned on the news that morning. You're feeling great until you saw what's going on out there, and all of a sudden your joy is kaput. It's in the trash, once again, by the sin that surrounds you. That's another trick of the devil to steal your joy. And then as a Christian, you're going along with Christ. I'm saved by grace through faith. Now I'm going to serve God. And then what's the devil do? He says, but you haven't served him enough. You could have done better with that. God must be angry with you. He commands this of you, and you haven't done enough. You didn't do it well enough. See, he's angry with you again. You're guilty. Guilty, you terrible person. No wonder the devil's called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12. Amen? He's always accusing us, trying to taint our relationship with God, to steal and rob us of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, by turning God into another angry, grouch, grumpy old man who barely saved you, who's barely putting up with you. You're walking on the edge of a knife, and he's ready to destroy you at your slightest little slip or mistake. That's what the devil wants to do, to steal our joy. And one more. God, at times, as we know, sends trials upon us. It's through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. God sends trials upon us, friends, to polish us and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ, like polished silver, to make you look like his son, the hero, the savior. And then what's the devil say? Oh, no, you got it all wrong. You see, God's angry at you again. He's putting you through the ringer because he just doesn't like you. He's plain set against you. He's doing these things to you because he wants to destroy you. He's not on your side. He's against you. After all, if he were for you, why would you be suffering this way? He must surely hate you. And these thoughts come into our mind. It's the devil again seeking to rob and destroy your joy in the Lord when God means these things for your good. But the devil says, no, it's for your ill and evil. He hates you, and he seeks to rob us of our strength, the joy of the Lord, by taking away the joy of our relationship with him we have in Christ. Amen? So that's some of the ways the devil seeks to steal your joy. Any of these hitting the mark with you? Well then, next question is, if we've lost our joy, or if you only have some and you want more of it today, how do you get it? Well, the good news today is that God comes, the God of joy, to restore joy in you afresh. And how does he do it, friends? Always and only in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the gospel that sets you free to joy, and it's the proper product of the gospel that you would be joyful when you hear it. Remember, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, said Isaiah. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them as light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast increased its joy. How? For unto us a child's born. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Where are you going to find joy today if you don't have it? Look to Jesus. Look to the gospel. Remember, when Jesus was born, the angel said, "Don't be afraid. Stop that. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which is going to come to all the people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So when the devil tries to get us to sin, and we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and he's killed our joy, how does God restore it? He brings us Jesus Christ, who's come to take away your sins, forgive and atone for them on the cross, and by so doing, then to gift you eternal life and restore to you to joy, the joy of the Lord being your strength. Amen?
Amen.
But have you believed it? Have you taken hold of it and held it fast? You know, I believe you have. I believe you are all Christians, and you do have the joy of the Lord. But we need to believe and think on that and meditate on it and really let that be the definition of our relationship with God, that we are reconciled to God through Christ, that God is with me at all times. He is for me at all times in Jesus, and in good or bad, sunshine or rain, this God is my friend through Jesus, who has reconciled me to him. Amen? If you believe that, you're going to be joyful no matter what hits you, in life or in death. Look at the prodigal son. Remember that story? He went away in his youth. He squandered all his father's inheritance on harlots, sleeping around, drunkenness, reveling parties. He came into a bad place. He wanted to return to his father. He thought, well, if I get back there to my father, maybe he'll accept me as a slave. He'll still probably be angry with me. He'll still be, hold a grudge, but maybe I can at least get a little tiny bowl of pottage and live like a slave in his house. You know the story. What happened? On his way home, the father sees him, runs to him, embraces him, kisses him, puts a ring in his hand, shoes on his feet, a robe, kills the fatted calf, and says, "Let's eat and make merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost, and he's found." Jesus told that story to teach us what God is like with you and me. It's joy when you get saved, and I'm rejoicing, God says, and I want you to come and rejoice with me. I'm not going to treat you like a slave. You're not walking on a knife's edge. I'm not ready to destroy you. I'm not barely putting up with you. I rejoice over you with singing, as it says in, I think, Zechariah. God sings over you. Come in and make merry with me, God says. That is the rest of your life if you're saved in Jesus. Make merry with me, says the Lord. Isaiah 12, you'll say in that day, you were angry with me, God, but your anger turned away from me. You comforted me, and I praise you now. And God says, with joy, you're going to draw water from the wells of salvation. Drink of it today. If you sinned, it's Jesus who gives you joy in the gospel, through the forgiveness of sins and salvation gifted you in him. And if you ever do sin, as a Christian, as we all do each week, what do? Confess your sins and pray with David, restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold me with a willing spirit, and God is faithful and just every day to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Bring it to him, and God says, I'll restore your joy immediately so that you can say, this I know, that God is for me. And God, whose word I praise, I'll trust and not be afraid. What can man do to me? Okay? So there's the sin. You can get that one remedied and have joy restored. If you're tempted, though, and you resist the temptation and you triumph, and the devil says, you're still a miserable person because you were enticed in the first place, say, yeah, but I didn't sin. Christ was tempted. He didn't sin. Get behind me, devil. You're not on the side of God, but men. I won't feel guilty for that. I won't fall for that trick. When the devil then comes and says, but I remember your past sins. Remember when you were a young person. Remember what you did. You are a terrible person. God must surely not like you. You say, Isaiah 43 says, I, says the Lord, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I won't remember your sins. Devil, if God doesn't remember them, I'm not going to remember them either. If you want to remember them, fine, you're going to do that on your own. And even if I do remember my sins, it's only going to turn to more joy because I'm going to praise God that he forgave me in Christ for those very things. Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. As for the troubles in this world, if someone attacks you who's a bad guy or just having a bad day and you get down through the troubles of the world or the news, well, a great thing to do is just forgive those people. Pray for the people and pray for the world. And you maybe not won't be all so happy about these things, but know that one day God's going to set all things right. Set your eyes on that, bear it up patiently, knowing that God is still with you in that, still for you in that, and in that we can rejoice. And when the devil says, you've not done enough though, you've not done enough, you've not served the Lord well enough, surely God is angry with you because you didn't do it well enough or excellently enough. Say, well, okay, I didn't do it well enough or as much as I could have, but my relationship with God is not based upon how great and good my works are. It's based upon how great and good and sufficient Jesus' works were. And on the cross he said, it's finished, therefore I have joy with the Lord, it is enough. He has accomplished my salvation. And when God sends trials upon you, as indeed he does upon all of us, he tests us every day. With fire he puts us into the furnace to polish us like silver, to make us come out like Jesus. When the devil says, no, God's against you, he hates you, he wouldn't let this happen to you if he were for you, just answer him, no, God's working everything for good with those who love him and were called according to his purpose. He foreknew me, he predestined me, he's conforming me into the image of Jesus Christ, and he's using trials to do it, and I rejoice in that. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. The testing of your faith is producing steadfastness, which is then going to make you perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Remember, Job, he says, but God knows the way that I take, and when he's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. Devil, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm coming out as gold. I'm coming out like Jesus in the end. This I know, that God is for me. The God in whose word I praise, the Lord in whose word I praise, in God I'll trust without a fear. What can man do to me? So do you believe today that God is with you today in Christ? That he says, I will not forsake you. I am never going to fail you. You have not just a temporary relationship with me, but something called a covenant, the new covenant. My promise, which is secure, that I love you, I rejoice over you, and I rejoice over you with singing. Come in, let us eat, drink, and make merry together, feasting on the gospel, the rock of Jesus Christ. Drink of my son, and you will have joy, and joy indeed, drinking water from the wells of salvation, a well that will never run dry, that will make you triumphant in joy in the good and in the bad, because whatever happens, I'm with you, for you, love you in Jesus, and have saved you. Is that joy and joy everlasting? Well then, what we need to do today, friends, is focus on these things. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and always find it in the right place. The fountain of youth, the fountain of joy, is Jesus and the gospel, and that beats the devil at every turn. Keep going back to the gospel as your well of water for joy and salvation. And God, who is a God of joy, is leading us, friends, through this world with us all the way to heaven, which is joy, into the world to come, where, and we'll conclude with this verse. This is a promise to you from Isaiah 51. The ransomed of the Lord, you shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads, says the Lord. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and all sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.